grace to you in peace from God who redeems, creates, and loves all things. It began with a worry. Began with a worry when people seemed to stop showing up at Faith Lutheran Church in Prairie Village, Kansas. This modern, active, vibrant, and occasionally troubled congregation closed last week. Their beautiful building, which had stood for a very long time, was sold to the city of Prairie Village, where they promised to bulldoze it and build a park. And it began with a worry. It began with a worry that maybe they weren't sure who they were or what they should do. But quickly, that worry turned to fear. Fear of failure, fear of reaching out into a changing community, fear of giving of time and self, fear of making each other mad, or fear of not making each other mad. Fear of someone's phone ringing in the middle of the sermon. Fear of almost everything. And then fear became anger. And they closed. It all began with a worry. One day, Joseph was out tending the flocks with his family, his extended family. And of course, it's Genesis, so suddenly there seemed to be two extra wives and their family hanging around in Isaac's world. But Joseph notices that they are not doing their job, and it worries him. And so he goes back and he tells his father, you know what? They're not doing a very good job. Suddenly, the sons of Zilpha and her partner wife begin to worry. They begin to worry about what Joseph is really up to. And that worry turns to fear. It all began with a worry. And then one day, for any unknown reason that none of us can understand, Jacob sends Joseph into the lion's den. Hey, by the way, could you go check on your brothers? And he does. And they are worried, and they want to know, now, why is it that you are here exactly? And Joseph, in his long coat with long sleeves, the favorite of the children, the youngest child, the snitch, says, well, I'm just here for my father. And worry turns to fear, turns to hatred. And it all began with a worry. So much of life is like that. Small things that begin with a worry and then begin to snowball in ways that we can't even imagine. For Faith Lutheran Church in Prairie Village, they never saw it coming. In an article written in the Kansas City Star, a former member describes having served on the council and being a part of that congregation and saying, you know, I think in the end, I was one of the problems because I left. I served as council president for 2 years, and I found that I would come home from the council meetings stressed and angry, and I would drink some wine. Everybody who's ever served on the church council just went, and? Yeah, we just do it during the council meeting and miss the rest of it. And then one of his children said to him, "Dad, this is killing you. Why don't you just quit?" And he did. In the article, he said, "I found it was increasingly easy not to go to church. It all began with a worry." The disciples who have just been with Jesus on the mountain, where he has fed 5,000 people. Jesus has learned about the death of John the Baptist. He wants to be by himself, and he sends them over to the other side of the lake in the boat. And they start out in that boat, and the wind begins to build, and the waves begin to build. It all starts with a worry. Thank you, Carolyn. You're the only one who did it. Thank you. It starts with a worry, and then it turns to fear. It's the same pattern over and over and over again. It starts in that little kernel, this little nugget inside every one of us, and it seems almost impossible to push down. And no matter how many times the angels say to us in scriptures, "Do not be afraid," we are made of different stuff. Fear is part of who we are. And the fear wells up. It begins as that little worry in the pit of your stomach. And it grows. Until it explodes. It began as a little worry. A group of white supremacists who were worried about what it is to be privileged and white in this country. And so they decide to have a demonstration. And worry turns to fear, turns to hatred, turns to violence. It begins with a little worry. The powerful story that we receive today in both the gospel and in the Genesis lesson describe the way God interacts with our fear. So often when we think of that story of the disciples in the boat, we think, well, Jesus got into the boat with them, everything was okay, they rowed to the other side. But the really remarkable thing David Lowes points out is not that Jesus gets in the boat with them, but that Jesus plunges his hand down into the lake and he pulls Peter up. Peter's fear is absolutely real and understandable. You know, if you can't swim and you fall in the water, fear is a natural thing. As it is for all of us. But it is this hand thrusting into that water that pulls Peter up. And I envision Peter taking this great gulp of breath. The ruach of life. What seemed certain death suddenly becomes possibility. And he hauls him up into the boat. And we never hear about this story again. And it all began with a little worry. I love that story of Joseph. His brothers are scared to death that he's going to rat them out again, that they're going to lose their inheritance, that that little pipsqueak with the long coat is going to ruin their afternoon. And, you know, like brothers will do, I grew up in a family of boys, let's kill him. Having just spent a few days with my brothers, well, let's not kill him. Instead, let's throw him in a pit. We actually did that with my youngest brother in the desert. It was awesome. And then Benjamin says, well, we'll throw him in the pit and I'll rescue him later. And then all of a sudden they decide, no, let's do this instead. There's some slavers coming. Let's sell him. And God reaches down and grabs hold of Joseph and delivers him in all places to Egypt. You know the end of the story. Eventually, the whole thing gets turned around and his brothers will show up on his very wealthy doorstep one day and say, do we know you from somewhere? And I always think Joseph should say, do you remember the pit? Maybe that's what we need in our life, is the hope that comes from a God who does not stand idly by in the face of our worry and our fear. For worry leads to fear, leads to hatred, that begins to boil over on the streets of a university town. And the unimaginable begins to happen. And we wonder, I certainly wonder, is this our country? Is this our values? Is this what God has in mind for God's people today? It is a worry. And I pray that God takes that worry inside of us and transforms it to hope. That we might breathe that same deep, life-giving breath that Peter must have sucked in as he came out of the water. And then share that life with a fearful world. I think the angels are right. God does not want us to live in fear. God knows what fear will breed in us. More fear, more hatred, more bigotry. An unwillingness to get in the boat, to do the work that we've been called together as a church to do, to rather abandon the whole thing altogether because it's just too much bloody work. It begins with a little worry, but ends with a Christ who says to the disciples and to us, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Maybe that's what we forget, that in the midst of our struggle as congregations and as individuals, as people of conscience, as people of a nation, we forget, and I don't know that this happened in Prairie Village, but it's almost as if they forgot that God was present with them through all of the midst of it, and never once did they seem to want to reach out and grab that hand that had been thrust down among them. And in the same way, we hang on to our own prejudices and our own fears and our own hates, and we refuse the hand that is given to us in grace. So when it begins with a little worry, remember this God who says to all of us, I am here. It is I, and I will be with you always. And climbs into our little boat and shares our lives with us forever. Amen.